Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Starblood by N.D. Redding. Narrated by Eric Michael Summerer. Chapter 1. I twitched as another Federation carrier took off through the yellow clouds of Persei Prime. It was a familiar sight and sound, though I somehow never managed to get used to it. It was probably bound to the Ulix cluster, where the fighting was hardest and the casualty rates were at an all-time high around 90%. Ships were crammed to the brim with tens of thousands of soldiers who gathered in the capital city of Neo Carolina. They took off on an almost daily basis, all heading for the same destination and carrying hot-headed new recruits along with the occasional veteran specialist. My digital tablet buzzed as a priority message came in. I froze. The last time I had gotten a message on the thing was when my floater had been demolished by vandals. I pulled the damn thing out of my bag and stared at it in pure horror. Incoming message. Sergeant Richard Stavos, please report to the HQ for deployment at 0600. I tried not to acknowledge the tingling feeling that was crawling up and down my back. A fighter drone passed overhead, drawing me back out of my stupor. It was the same thing I felt each time one of the ships broke the sound barrier on their way to war, forcing me to remember my time back in the Army. I knew exactly how those men and women up there felt. The brutal G-force that shoved you into the hibernation capsule, the terrified faces of the people around you, the confusion and shock upon awakening in the Ulix cluster, the adrenaline of planetfall, the fighting, and then the inevitable dying. It was one of those things that never managed to leave my system, despite having left it behind me. I was now a law-abiding citizen of the Commonwealth Federation and a tech master at Ion Industries, one of the wealthiest companies spanning the human worlds. I punched in at 8 a.m. Standard Solar Time and punched out at 5 p.m. SST with a paycheck in my virtual pocket and a headache in my very real head. Although my employer was contracted by the government and the company dealt in nanite weapon tech, I no longer had to wage anyone's war. I was done. Done with the fighting, the screaming, the dying. But most of all, I was done with my shift. That meant a hearty drink was in order, then another, and probably a good dozen more after that if I had any luck.
"Mr. Richard, are you off for today?"
Marlin asked as his face turned into a grin. He was a man in his 40s and one of the very few security guards we had on the property of Ion Industries. Drones and weapons of great destruction made sure no one did anything stupid. But then there were also people like me who could handle most things this world had to offer. More or less.
"Yeah, I'm done. I just want to have a couple of drinks and head home. All of this..."
I paused and looked up at the still visible afterburner plumes from the latest carrier. "Is getting to me."
"Are you... all right? You look as if you've seen a ghost, sir."
"And I just might have," I muttered.
"Sorry, something happened that... yeah, I need that drink very much now. Take care, all right? Have a good weekend, sir."
I nodded and flashed him a half-hearted smile before I walked out of the gate and toward my floater. The air was chilly, just how I liked it, but the stench was abhorrent to someone not used to the smog our factories released. I took to the lousy Scrag, my favorite bar, and parked down the road. With a spring in my step and a tired but honest smile on my face, I beelined for the building. The bar was a 5-minute walk from both my apartment and the parking lot where I paid a monthly fee so I didn't have to worry about someone smashing in the windows or scratching the paint. The apartment was just close enough for me to crawl into bed without losing myself in a drunken stupor on the streets of Neo Carolina when I was done drinking. It was a gigantic city. A megapolis, as they called them. Just over 30 million people living underground, above ground, and in the citadels up in the sky, clear from the smog and dirt. The police presence was extremely heavy ever since the place had become the gathering hub and one of the forward base worlds from where the war machine was oiled up. I didn't care, in all honesty, as I was now one of the locals, or at least that's what I hoped.
They didn't give me any trouble, despite knowing I was ex-Special Forces. I stopped at the front door of the lousy scrag. It still had those ancient doorknobs, which you had to literally pull to open. Although they were made illegal hundreds of years ago, some places, and especially lousy places like the lousy scrag, would rather pay the fine than fix them. It wasn't politically correct to have doorknobs because other alien races of the Commonwealth Federation might not have the appendages necessary to open them. What damn bullshit. Who cared about such trivial stuff? Those who slept in their high castles and were trying to please the Ka war machine. There were no aliens in this bar. There never were, and there probably never would be. The Ka, the Imanese, and other species that ruled the stars would never even think of hanging out with the human workforce. We were just like ants to them, nothing more. Just as I was about to pull the door open, another boom echoed across the skies. Another one? That was already two in just the last hour. An eerie prescience washed over me as I felt a cold tingle run down my spine. Still, two carriers in one day? Could be just a coincidence. Yes, that was it. This was probably just a coincidence. I pushed the door open and was immediately greeted by loud music and the heavy stench of acrid smoke from cheap burners the working class consumed instead of the luxurious cigars or cigarettes. They mostly resembled cigars, but were full of a tar-like substance that burned bright red. The bar was crowded with people from the so-called upper class of human society, though we were nothing but glorified slaves. Those lucky enough to have skills that promised a secure job in either tech, medicine, education, or other places of worth that didn't require literal human strength to perform. I lowered my briefcase next to my chair as I sat and waved at the waiter. He brought me a black reindeer on ice, the usual I had whenever I came here. The synthetic alcoholic drink appeared before me and disappeared just as quickly. "Another?" the waiter asked. "Another," I replied, and tried to flash him what could pass for a smile that said, "Keep it going." It was a Friday night, and just the way I liked it. A crowded bar, a lot of chatter to get lost in, cheers, laughter, and me just by myself in a socially detached but rather good mood at the bar. People knew me in there, and they knew that I wasn't a chatty man. I was polite, sure, but every line on my face would tell them to speed up their conversation and leave me alone if they bothered me while I was drinking. Two more drinks made their way to my table, and I downed one of them just as quickly as I stared out into the crowd. The club had a rustic, almost vintage look to it, with real wood being used on the inside. Girls were dancing on the floor as guys tried to approach them but didn't seem to be having much luck. I almost saw my old self in several of the young men, remembering some unpleasant situations. I shook them aside quickly when I noticed a young man in uniform walking straight toward me. "You're that Rick guy, right?" he asked and pulled up a chair without so much as considering if I would mind him sitting there. For some reason, he seemed to think I was very approachable and talkative. My mood soured as I read his name tag. He wasn't even enlisted yet and only had a recruit's name tag. Leo Madrigo. "What of it?" "Is it true that you served a term? I could use some tips and pointers, if you know what I mean." He laughed. I frowned, not interested to talk to the guy in the least. "See, I enlisted yesterday, but today is the last day of freedom. Thought I could catch a beer or two and have a chat with the one guy who seemed out of place here. Just like myself." His way of thought was totally wrong, as he had no idea who I really was. Leo probably didn't know anyone at the bar and had heard some of the locals talk about me when I entered earlier. It was an unspoken secret. One to talk about me whenever I was around as the one ex-military man who frequented this place. "Why are you here?" I asked. "Military personnel don't come to this bar. Is it because we're so close to the base?" "Ha! You got me," he laughed. "But seriously, you don't seem so chatty." "If you had bothered looking close enough, you'd have noticed I was sitting here by myself, Leo. I don't like company." "Oh, come on, man. You'll be one of my last memories as I head out there. Instead of chasing tail, I decided to have a drink with an old man in this bar. Isn't that great?
He was relentless. No matter how hard I tried to stay calm, something underneath the surface started to boil. I didn't like people, and I liked them even less if they were all up in my face like this kid.
Be nice to people, I muttered under my breath. No matter how utterly boring the young Federation recruit is, he won't be able to keep this up all night, right?
Huh? Did you just say something?
Leo asked as he saw my lips move.
No, sorry. I just remembered I could use another drink, I replied and downed the last glass. He went on about the war, the Navy, humankind in the greater scheme of things, and all the other topics I tried to suppress in my daily life. He just proved to me for the 100th time that people were only a bother.
I gotta take a leak, but you feel free to go sit somewhere else so I can drink in peace, I muttered as I got up and strolled off to the toilet.
Leo called something from behind me, but I had already tuned out, hoping not to see him when I got back. I splashed my face, then loafed about as I tried to kill some time. The only reason I came to the toilet was to try to get the kid to leave. I nodded to Paul, who was just leaving one of the stalls. He nodded back as I stood there with my hand in my pockets, staring at the graffiti on the bathroom tiles. Some came to sit and think, others just to shit and stink. I couldn't help but chuckle and shake my head. It was truly marvelous what people came up with when they had more free time than they knew what to do with. I turned on the faucet again, washed my hands, and looked in the mirror, accidentally meeting my own glance. Immediately, my INAS, or the Internal Nanite Analysis System, pulled up my status.
Richard Stavos, civilian, technomancer, sergeant of the Commonwealth Federation Forces, decommissioned.
The INAS was a system created by the Ka that allowed soldiers to communicate over vast distances by just thinking the words they wanted to say. It constantly gathered information on their surrounding. Temperature, geographical position, health, nanite status, enemy location and strength, etc. There was brutal backlash from the public when the system was introduced. They called it too invasive, but it wasn't the Ka who defended the system. It was the ordinary soldiers who realized the endless benefits such communication services allowed in combat situations. I shook my head and cursed as I just noticed I forgot to turn off my INAS after work. It usually never flared up in mirrors unless I suffered from a debuff, which in this situation was slight intoxication. I didn't like to be reminded of my current state, especially after work, but it already happened, so there was nothing I could do about it. The INAS usually filtered out civilians and laid dormant until it made contact with military personnel, enemies, or situations that the system recognized as threats. Because of my prior service in the Federation's forces and my current work, I retained the system. It rarely had a purpose beyond work, where I interfaced with machines and was only an ugly reminder of the battlefields I had left behind. With the INAS removed from my field of vision, I washed my face yet again and stared at the reflection in the mirror for several long seconds before I mentally recalled the INAS back up to check something. The term decommissioned nagged me. In the eyes of the Commonwealth Federation Forces, or CFF, a technomancer specialist wasn't even a person. We were seen as equipment to be used as the military saw fit. I closed the interface and sighed as I left the toilet, mentally making a promise to not get upset by bygones. With my fingers crossed that Leo had moved on to bother someone else, I walked back to my table. As luck wouldn't have it, not only was Leo still there, but two more people had joined him, a stocky young man and a tall woman. They were both in their 20s, just like Leo, and they surely knew how to occupy most of the space around my favorite seat. I rolled my eyes at the scene and prayed to anyone willing to listen that they'd leave me alone so I could drink in peace and go to sleep.
There he is!
Leo laughed as he swayed drunkenly to one side.
Hey, Rick! These two are Layla and Fat Timmy. They're just about to be soldiers, too.
Don't call me fat, Timmy hissed under his breath. I mustered my best piss-off-politely face and grabbed yet another drink from the table. Suddenly, I remembered it hadn't been there before, but that didn't matter anymore. It was my table, so the drink must have been mine as well.
"Hey, where are you going? Come on, sit with us," Leo almost pleaded.
He looked genuinely interested to talk to me for a while longer, or talk at me if I wanted to be more precise. But just as I was about to take my leave, Timmy jumped in with a jab.
"Maybe he doesn't like soldiers,"
he laughed and patted himself on the shoulder. It looked both awkward and idiotic, but then again he looked as smart as the doorknob from earlier. I loudly breathed in and looked at my almost empty drink as I spoke.
"You guys enjoy yourselves, all right? I'm a bit too old for your company."
I let go of my drink and picked up my briefcase, hoping the conversation would end there, but I very well knew it wouldn't. The three adolescent wannabe heroes were already quite drunk, and since they would be flung across the galaxy tomorrow to fight an interstellar war, a bit of roughhousing wouldn't be the worst thing they were getting themselves into.
"So, having a drink with people who protect your civilian asses is too much of a bother for you?"
said the young woman, pointing her glass at me. Life forbid if I had to count on their protection. I'd just rather not think about it before I ripped my own brain out.
"It's not that. I'm tired of working a 9-hour shift. I just wanted to have a drink and go home. So if you ladies and gentlemen don't mind..."
All right. Let the old man through,"
Leo said jokingly. I nodded, ignoring the remark. I was 34, and that was barely puberty considering people now lived to be 300 years of age. If they had the credits for the process, that is.
"Have a nice evening," I said with relief, but didn't let it show.
I knew how young recruits could be so hot-headed. After all, I'd been one a decade ago. Staying away from them was usually the best course of action for a civilian. Just as I was about to leave, the woman grabbed my briefcase and pulled me back a step. My black reindeer spilled over the glass and onto the floor, causing my heart to skip a beat.
She didn't just do that, did she?
"Wait, what's with the hurry?"
she asked with a smirk on her face. She could be considered pretty in comparison to most girls her age, especially after the nanite treatment. Long, blonde hair framed a pale face and big green eyes.
"I'd appreciate it if you let go of the briefcase," I said, almost unreasonably composed.
"What's in there, old man?"
Her grip was incredibly strong for a young woman her age. Even without the nanite injections, this girl could hold her own, so no wonder she was going around trying to get into a fight or scuffle.
"Work stuff."
"Hey, Layla, that's enough. Let the guy go,"
Leo said again, this time his voice slightly stronger.
"What? I'm not doing anything."
Her voice was calm yet filled with sarcasm as the smirk still hung on her face. Several of the regulars finally noticed something was off, and I could feel their gazes linger on us. None of them were fighters, but they all knew me for years now and would most likely risk a brawl to help out. The lousy scrag was like a gathering place for the family to many of them. In a city with 30 million people, this tiny rundown place served as an island in a sea of noise and anonymity.
"Need some help there?"
old Flint asked as he got up from his chair. He was 166 years old, but still in decent shape for an old geezer. Layla burst into laughter as Timmy followed suit, and for the first time since it all started, a very subtle frown made its way up to my face.
"It's okay, Flint. Everything's fine," I said, trying to sound as composed as earlier, but I was starting to really lose it by now. "Guys, I know you're having a blast tonight, and we all appreciate what you're doing for all of us. I'll pay for the next round, and we can all enjoy our evening. How about it?"
I immediately noticed Leo's face going from troublesome to mild-mannered, and I knew the kid would leave it there. But neither Layla nor Timmy seemed to agree with him. They were out for trouble, and nothing was going to stop them.
"All right, pay the drinks if you're a man of your word,"
Layla laughed as she let go of the briefcase in a dramatic motion. She turned to the waiter and spoke again.
You heard the man. 6 beers, and whatever these two want to drink.
The waiter from earlier looked over at me and met my eyes, but I nodded slowly.
Give them the drinks, all right?
I turned away again and took another step when a hand tightened its grip around my arm, pulling me back for the third time.
You won't even toast with us, geezer?
Layla asked seriously.
I will do this one last thing for you, I said,
but the tone of my voice wasn't composed anymore. On the contrary, it was almost sinister.
Oh, are we getting serious now?
Let's just toast. Layla, was it? To you new recruits.
And to a very serious... What are you anyway? A teacher or something?
I'm a tech master at Ion Industries.
To a very serious tech master at Ion.
She laughed mockingly. They all had a sip, and what seemed like the end of a very uncomfortable conversation was just the beginning of a very uncomfortable situation.
Have a good one, I said for the last time and turned away from the group, sincerely hoping I saw the last of it.
Layla wouldn't have it. She was out for blood that evening, and to her unrefined and overconfident senses, I smelled deliciously weak. She grabbed my briefcase for a second time and pulled again.
You still haven't told me what's in there.
My face turned sour, and I said nothing for a very long moment as a dead silence fell over the whole bar. Only old-world music could be heard playing from the speakers in the walls. She pulled the briefcase again, almost snatching it out of my hand. Everyone's eyes were glued on the two of us. Just then my INAS flared up, detecting the girl's heightened adrenaline levels. She was a threat. The damn woman was unnaturally strong without even having gotten her nanite injection or her INAS. Shit, she was going to be problematic to take on, let alone her friends as well. But I wasn't going to take any more shit from a couple of drunk kids with a hero complex. No one could say I hadn't tried the right way, but now it was time to show them why I was their senior.
Let the briefcase go, kid, I said with a warning tone. You don't want to push it any further than you already have.
Yeah, just let it go, Layla,
Leo said again. I appreciated the effort, but she wasn't going to budge. No way.
Just do as Leo there says. Let go, so I can go home and lay down. It's been a long day.
Layla smiled viciously, but it wasn't her who threw the first punch. It was Timmy. Something in me stirred as Timmy's fist approached. The nanites in my body rushed through my veins together with the increase in adrenaline, but it was a little too late, though. The fist threw me back, causing me to almost lose my footing. The regulars in the bar jumped to my aid, but I held up my hand, and they didn't move. They knew I was able to hold my own, so they listened. All eyes were on me now.
Do you really want to know what's in the briefcase? I asked, as a feral grin crept up my face.
Yeah, show us!
Timmy demanded, almost out of his mind. Using my INAS interface, I activated the nanites in the briefcase. An electric shock forced Layla to let go, but before it hit the floor, millions of nanites, which were part of the briefcase itself, shifted around in mere seconds and turned into a drone. The drone attacked Timmy just as I ordered. It released its clamps and struck Timmy's head, binding itself around the neck and forehead. The unsuspecting recruit tumbled, losing his balance just as the familiar slammed his head against the counter with such force that an audible crack resounded in the bar. His skull must have cracked, with such ease it made me almost feel sorry for him. Utterly confused, Leo stood frozen in place, but Layla was already on my little helper. She grabbed the drone and tried to smash it against the floor, but an intense electric shock made her let go just before it slammed into the ground. I tackled her to the ground and bashed her head into the dirty stone tiles. I was outmatched when it came to pure strength. I went for a chokehold, keeping her down and pressing against her windpipe, but the young woman seemed to have been schooled in martial arts as she moved around, despite her health dropping at a rapid pace. Layla dislodged herself and almost caught me in the same maneuver I was going for only seconds ago. We stumbled against the counter, and she released me as I slammed her head into the wooden construct before I pushed off the ground. She grabbed for me and tore part of my shirt off, leaving me standing there in utter disbelief as a trickle of blood ran lazily down the corner of her mouth. I jumped back and created some distance between us as I tried to cover the spot where the shirt had ripped, but didn't have time to do anything as Layla got back up to her feet. Before she could do anything else, the young woman stopped and narrowed her eyes on me. In the middle of my chest, just beneath the center of my collarbone, a circular scar glared right back at her. The place, which was an uproar mere seconds ago, was now deathly silent.
"That's..."
Leo began, but stopped to take a deep breath.
"That's the mark of a Ulix rebirther. You were..."
I said nothing as I cursed inwardly. No one was supposed to see this, and they hadn't for all these years. But now the cat was out of the bag. "You're right," I replied calmly. "I was for years on the front line until I finally died. Now I carry the mark of one that was remade in his own image by Ka technology." The moment of silence that ensued didn't last too long.
"So what?"
Layla snapped, still angry beyond reason.
"That's enough," Leo growled. "Are you stupid? Do you know what this means?"
he asked, grabbing her arm.
"He was in the Ulix cluster and died there, fighting. The same place we're going for. And don't you remember what they said? Ordinary soldiers don't get a damn revive."
Layla, who suddenly felt the weight of judgment by several dozen eyes, wouldn't budge, however. In her mind, there was only one way she could end this, and that was by defeating her enemy, me. What I lacked in strength, however, I made up in experience and smarts. Even before I got up from the floor, I came up with an idea while remembering the words of a previous mentor. "When facing an overwhelming force, one can only win by overwhelming cunning." It was a saying that was drilled into me over all the years of service, and now I had something to show for it. "Don't you wonder where the drone went?" I asked, as the corners of my lips curled up slightly. She snapped her head around, and only managed to spot the drone by the time he was done doing what I commanded. He hung there from the wall, connected to the power socket directly supplied by electricity from the megapolis. The drone had just finished supercharging when she leaped for me. Buzzard slammed into her from behind and discharged the stored electricity, scorching her pale skin and paralyzing the hulking woman. She stood there for several heartbeats, managing to stand on her feet, but eventually dropped on her back, slamming her head against the hardwood floor. For a moment, there was nothing but silence in the bar, and then the cheers came. "Are we done here?" I asked the stunned Leo, who was nothing short of terrified by the whole incident. He nodded.
"Yes, sir."
"Get them out of here before I change my mind," I snapped at him, just to see the boy squirm for a moment longer.
"Sir!"
he snapped back and saluted before dropping to his knees and slapping his friends awake. Timmy got up first and helped pick Layla up along with Leo. They carried the young woman out of the bar, but just before they left the place, I called out to Leo. "Take care out there, kid. You'll need it, trust me." Chapter 2. In my experience, having a hangover was seldom the only punishment life threw at you the day after drinking yourself to an inch of, not death, but not far from it, either. That Sunday morning, life didn't just gift me a headache like those from legends and fables. No, it wasn't just the dozen black reindeers, and it wasn't the black eye and unrelenting pain in my shoulder that a certain young woman awarded me with. Those things only seemed like a background to the orchestra of suffering that came with a big, fat message popping into my INAS.
Incoming message. Sergeant Richard Stavos, please report to the HQ for deployment at 0600 sharp.
For a good minute, I just stared through the half-translucent message, not really conscious enough to take it all in. Sure, I knew it wasn't a dream, and I vaguely remembered reading the same thing yesterday.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?